All right, let's do this.
And now for something completely different.
Smoke medical weed every day.
The following thoughts on Hoffy Hour represent Brian Hoffy and Facet. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoffy Hour.
He is the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoffy Hour.
Hoffy Hour. Hoffy Hour. Hoffy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
What's going on? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. Let's get right into it. From the BS, the Bailey Show out in Sacramento on 98 Rock, the one and only Jason Bailey is on Hoppy Hour. I'm all hyped up right now. What's up, Jason?
How you doing, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't talked to you in a while. How's everything been? How's Sacramento?
Sacramento's great. It's a cool spot. You know, I mean, pros and cons of living in California, but as far as the weather and the topography and the people and the radio station and mainly the audience, I should be honest with you, I don't think in almost 30 years of doing radio that I've met an audience so radio savvy.
Yeah.
And thirsty, you know, for a good show. So yeah, life's good.
So what are some underrated parts about living out in California? Because everybody talks bad about it a lot. It gets a lot of hate. What are some things that you think, so when you moved there, you didn't expect to see when you moved to Sacramento?
Well, let's be honest. Okay, so let's conquer the first part of that. So it's funny, you know, when you've lived a few different places, and I have not lived many places. You know, Florida, I spent 17 years doing radio in Florida and then 10 years in Georgia. And so everything was on the South. Florida's not considered the South. Georgia's the South. Two different types of people, but very similar in a lot of ways. Then you move over to the, you know, the West Coast. And the idea of people from the East Coast is it's, you know, especially politically, that it's, you know, it's extremely liberal and it's this and this and that. And it's really like anywhere else that I've lived. Now, there is a caveat to that. The laws in California are a little wonky. A lot of them are a little wonky. But I live in the state capital, Sacramento. So, you know, the people here are very cool. I mean, there's a California lifestyle. There's no doubt about it. But the people, the mindset, you know, it's not what people from the East Coast thought it was. Now, to the second part of your question was, you know, what are the good things out here? You know, the things that made me kind of go, wow. Dude, you go out like 30 minutes from my house. I live in a city called Roseville, which is outside of Sacramento. You go 30 minutes, as we say out here, up the hill. You're almost about 1,000 feet elevation up. And you have the American River, the confluence, this hiking, the woods, the topography, like I said earlier, it's just absolutely beautiful. You can't get it anywhere else. And I'm an hour and a half from Napa. I'm an hour and a half from Lake Tahoe. I'm a 45-minute plane flight to Vegas. So there, you know, there's a lot of new things that me and my family haven't, you know, been able to discover. And, you know, I kind of, at a certain part of my career, I just said, it's about your lifestyle and what you want to see before it's too late. Nothing wrong with being one city your entire career. I actually am envious of people that can do that. I'm not a content person. And if something pisses me off, especially with a company or a cluster, I'm out. I'm not fighting for it because I'm not going to win. So I just go rebuild somewhere else, and I like the challenge, you know, and that's what's happening here. But within less than a year, what we've been able to accomplish is pretty amazing with what me and my team have been able to do so far.
What I really like about your show, Jason, is that it's very witty and dry, but it's also edgy because it's very easy for shock jocks, even though that doesn't exist anymore. It's very easy to just throw paint at the wall and be dirty and be explicit. And I like how you, Nikki D, and Nelson get edgy, but it's like you can have kids in the car. And that's what I've always appreciated about your work, going back to your morning show in Atlanta, is you're a very smart guy, Jason. You know how to ride the fine line.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. You know, I was having this conversation with another industry person not that long ago. And the things that we did, especially the things actually I did in Tampa.
Yeah.
I just never bought into it, you know, and maybe that's why the show didn't work. I don't know, but I hated that boob beer and bashing, you know, I hated that.
That's what Tampa does. It's weird.
Yeah. And I, you know, instead of, you know, being my own drummer, I kind of bought into it, I guess, and thought that that's what I needed to do. I was young and naive at the time too. And I was the first time I had my own morning show and blah, blah, blah. But, I hated it. I despised it. And some of the bits that I did, it's funny. I actually got sent to HR here for, this is part of that earlier conversation we were having about how the lifestyle is a little bit different.
Yeah.
People out here are a little touchy, you know, So I was explaining some of the bits. The conversation was, just things that you can't do anymore and this and that. And I walked into this conversation and I was like, oh, you guys don't even know. I was like, I used to do this thing called Muff Madden, and we did a wet burka contest. Yeah. And, you know, when I was explaining, you know, it was funny. 20 years ago, it was funny. Maybe today, obviously not so funny, but that wasn't the point. The point was, is you can't do it anymore, and nor would I do it anymore because it's not funny 20 years later. And so that kind of stuff, you know, it still lives on the internet and I'm still associated with it because it was my show, but, you know, not so much a fan.
I've listened back to old radio shows from like 15, 17 years ago, and it's crazy because I'm 30. So at like age 13, 14, that was like the funniest radio to me because I was just learning about sex and life and that. Man, some of the old radio shows do not hold up well at all. Some of the language they use, and it's crazy how things have changed, Jason.
Yeah. So let me tell you one of my first oh wow experiences with a radio show. It didn't make me want to get into radio. That's a whole nother story, but I will never forget where I was, what I was listening to. I was like 16-ish years old. I was living in Sarasota, Florida. I was still in high school. And me and the fellas, Friday night, we'd start out at Applebee's because they just had and we had fake IDs. They just had the best cold mugs. And we could get FLZ, you know, Tampa radio station FLZ. It would be, you could hear it, especially at night. And the night jock was Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yes.
And I didn't know of Bubba. All I knew was this crazy man on the radio. And a buddy of mine's like, oh, dude, you got to turn on this. It's a Tampa station. So we felt even cooler because we were getting a Tampa station in small little beach town, Sarasota. And he does this prank call. And in those days, they were real. Well, I think they were real.
Yeah.
And he did the hey, would you blow me prank call? And I'd never heard that before. And I thought it was the most hilarious thing that I'd ever heard. I remember telling him that years later. You know, I was like, dude, I got, you know, who would have thought of being radio and at one time even being competition to you? Not much, but, you know, competition to you. And so, you know, but that stuff, even a simple, hey, would you blow me? Or I remember when Spice back in Tampa, and I think Culta also did the Sofa King parody commercial. You can't do that anymore. You just can't.
There is an art form that Bubba the Love Sponge specifically has. Because I've done my research on Tampa radio, and it was pretty clean with Mason Dixon in the 80s. And then Ron and Ron were pretty edgy from what I've read online. But it seems like Bubba really changed the game when it comes to just being filthy. Because it seems like there was a before Bubba and after Bubba effect of the radio. And it seems like Bubba is really what changed the game here.
Well, in his case, he fit Tampa. I mean, he was perfect for Tampa. Yeah. I mean, Tampa's a different, just like California, just like Georgia, Orlando, you know, it's everybody's, you really got to know your audience now more than ever.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you have to change, It just means you have to tweak. I mean, I tell young people in this business all the time, we're not celebrities, we're public figures, but above all, we're in the customer service business. And it's not about you, and it's not really even about your show. It's about the audience. And the way that ratings are calculated now, I'm still a fan of sacrificing the lamb to feed the village every now and again if it's warranted. But, you know, you were in the customer service business. There's nothing, you know, the men 25-54 demographic is no longer the boobs and beer, even though it's us Gen Xers. You know, we've evolved into fathers, and there's nothing, you know, we like to look back and remember those times, but it's about current struggles of what's going on in our lives now, not the stuff that we were doing 20 years ago. You know, that's good to fall back on and reference, but if you want some meat and potatoes, you know, my life parallels probably most of these guys that I talk to, lives with kids and empty nesters and finances. I mean, I know it sounds kind of boring, but you know, you can have fun in between, just as you said. I mean, we have a good time on the show. You know, there's a lot of innuendo, and every once in a while there'll be a little, you know, drill kind of thing. But for the most part, it's just making sure people enjoy the show and walk away, you know, talking about the show. I mean, I've always said that since day one in this business. My goal every show is to have some type of discussion that after the show is done, somebody at their dinner table brings up and says, oh, did you hear the BS? You know, Bailey was talking about blah, 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 blah. And that's the goal, you know, is the grassroots, because that will never get old. I don't care, much as technology evolves, grassroots will always be the number one way to make a radio show a popular radio show.
And I would say your grassroots approach is working, because I go on Reddit a lot, and you guys are talked about a lot, because there's a Sacramento morning show that was on for a long time that just burned a lot of bridges. And I'm very proud of you for how you guys have replaced them, and seemingly people have forgotten about them, because it just seems like karma's doing its thing, Jason, because it seems like for the longest time, it felt like all these radio punks would get away with being assholes forever. And it's very nice to see that time finally did its thing, you know?
Well, again, you know, something that I believe in, and it took me a while to get here, is if it's not personal to me and doesn't affect my paycheck and the food I put on the table for my family, I don't care. I don't have an issue, you know? So, you know, anybody that gets behind a microphone and is able to make a dollar,
yeah,
I don't care if it's in the podcast world or if it's in terrestrial or satellite, I've got respect for you. You know, you come after me personally, and I love that stuff, then, you know, game on. But, you know, for the aforementioned show, I don't know anything about them other than that they had a lot of success in this market. I, you know, hear and read stuff too, but I don't care. I mean, I have got so much.
Saying that I've read comments online, and there's a lot of people that are liking your show, and it's very cool to see. Cause a lot of times when people replace a heritage morning show, there's a lot of hate, but the ratings have gone up. It just seems like you were the perfect replacement, and that's a very good thing.
Yeah. We've fit into the fabric of Sacramento really, really well. And again, it's not just me, but it's my team and the station. You know, I work for Odyssey. I've never worked for Odyssey before. I know a lot of the players in the company from prior jobs and whatnot, and they're very supportive. You know, like, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road, especially the first year, but everyone from the upper brass down to the local brass, extremely supportive of the show, which is great. And that's what you need. I mean, it's not a hierarchy thing in this business. I mean, those days are done too. Just as talent needs to evolve, management needs to evolve. And they have to realize that, you know, we're working together for the common goal. And that's for the station to win. So the morning show the show to win. So the station wins. So the company wins. All that stuff. Is this just for podcasting purposes?
Yeah.
For you, Ryan? Okay. So all that shit in between is null and void, right? It's null and void. It's headaches that no one, radio is easy. Life's easy. People make it difficult. And if you can get past that and say, I hired this person to do this job because they're good at it, you do you. And if you flop, then you're fired. Fair enough. Same with you. Management needs to be held accountable just as talent needs to be held accountable. In this situation that I'm in, we're all on the same wavelength. We understand our goal. We understand our roles. And it's a beautiful thing going into 2024. Really is a beautiful thing.
Jason, what I think, you let me know, because you've been in radio for a minute. I've been in radio for 12 years, so I want to get your advice on this. Sometimes I think the problem with radio is some places that are edgier, like rock and roll or hot talk, they have the wrong PD. They have like a safe PD or someone who's very corporate that doesn't fit the mold. And sometimes I think that holds talent back. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. So to your point, radio brass says they want one thing. But when it comes to it, they a lot of times pivot. So you have to first, before you take a job, know what the job is.
Yeah.
So you're not miserable. I was not moving my family 2,600 miles across country. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And then you have to be willing to budge. Because it's not always going to be your way or the highway. So you have to find common ground with your vision and make sure it aligns with the station's vision. I mean, let's be honest, you know, you're only as good as the station. You know, the days of, and radio companies make it a point now more than ever to make sure the shows are not bigger than the station. But only sweat what you can control. And whatever you can control, make the best out of it. And I'll give you a great analogy. I'm a big wrestling fan, right? And so a lot of those guys, you'll hear them say, even the top upper echelon, like I think this is, I'm paraphrasing John Cena, is if you have 60 seconds of airtime on national television and you're pissed off because you only have 60 seconds of airtime on national television, you could have zero time on national television.
Yeah.
So make the best out of that 60 seconds. And you look at like a John Cena when he came into WWE, he came into the ring and he confronted Kurt Angle and he said maybe three words and then put on a great match and he was over after that, right? It's about stealing the show and not necessarily always being the main character. John Michael Higgins, who we just had on our show, love him. One of the greatest character actors that we've seen. He's in just about every Vince Vaughn movie. The breakup, when he does the a cappella thing around the table, he improv most of that and stole the show. You don't remember the end result between Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston. You remember that scene, right? You know, so you want to steal the show whenever you can. So to your point, Ryan, is if you walk into a situation before that situation begins and you sign, make sure they know your vision and they're going to help you or work with you to get to that vision because you honestly believe that's the winning ticket. And you've got to have a resume to say, hey, look, I've done this before. I know how to win. If you're new and you don't have the resume, you really got to kind of follow along with what they're doing and then grow and build from there. So you got to read the room.
What were the main reasons that you took the job on 98 Rock? What were like the top things that you immediately saw where you were like, I am willing to move 2,600 miles to get this job? What were some of the things that just were very good right up front?
Well, so when I got fired in Atlanta, I rode off terrestrial radio. I was done. I was going to retire from terrestrial radio. And I built a studio. I started a podcast company. And within the first year, it was very successful. It was cash flow positive. I was doing things with my podcast brand that, you know, just kind of were unheard of. I mean, we were at a ticketed event that had, you know, close to 600 people with a national band that I did with my podcast. I mean, I was doing events the way that I felt radio should do, the way they used to do events. That was the whole concept. And I had gotten offered a couple different scenarios, and I just didn't want to do it. The main thing at first was my daughter was in her senior year of high school, and I was not going to pull her out of school. So that was the first thing. And then the second thing was, as time went on, you know, it's not that I missed terrestrial radio. I just wrote it off. But then I got a phone call from a friend of mine, followed by my agent. And my friend, who was my program director and the operations manager out here, I worked with him in Atlanta, and we talked, and he told me about what his vision was, and, you know, how there's it's a big climb uphill with a lot of aspects that for his job, and then what I could do to help that out. And I think that in this business, you have too many people that want to make sure that their bosses or others know that it was their thumbprint that made all these changes. And when it's bad, it's not their thumbprint that makes these changes. But in this case scenario, I knew I know he's not that guy. And two, he asked for my help. And really it just boiled down to that. Like, I like the help. Yeah. despite popular belief about what people think about me, I like to help. And it's not that when I help, it's that I know everything. It's just I want to be a part of the creative process. That's what creative people do. They brainstorm and they want to be a part of the success. They don't have to claim the success. They just want to be a part of the success. So when he kind of pitched it to me like that, where it was, you know, I need your help. I want your help. And it really boiled down to that. And then I, you know, went to my wife and I said, what do you think? And both her and I subscribed to the same theory of life is a journey. And if I can get paid and still continue to do my podcast as well as the radio show, and move someplace that we've never experienced and, or maybe we never experience in our lives, then let's do it. You know, my daughter graduated, she came out here, started college. She is going to go back east probably and finish school there. But, you know, it's just us and five dogs. It's kind of neat. You know, I mean, if something happens, it goes bad, I'm sure I'll find somewhere else to go. You know, it's life's just too short.
Did you just say five dogs?
Yeah, five small dogs, but still, that's one of the, so back to the pros and cons of California. In Atlanta, we had a beautiful house with a half acre, a well-manicured yard. It was awesome. We move out here. Not that you can't find a house with a yard, but my dumbass bought a house with zero lot line, no backyard. Like, literally, I had to, this is a thing out in California. People have fake grass versus real grass.
Yeah.
So I have no grass, zero grass. So one of the first things I did was I had a company come in, I build dog runs. So my dogs have a place to go to the bathroom with grass on it. So like on the side of our house is all grass. In the backyard, you know, there's an area where there's fake grass. And then every day you got to go, it was an oopsie daisy. So this will probably, the living arrangement will probably change in a couple of years. I think our next move is we want to buy a ranch and get cows and shit. So again, it's all about the experience, right? You know, so why not?
I'm about to let you go because you got some things to do, but
I still got some time. Yeah.
How did you assemble your team of Nelson and Nikki D?
Well, Nikki had been my intern for 7 years. And we were able to get her hired part-time in promotions. And then I think eventually she got hired part-time to help the show. You know, like my show in Atlanta, it was a big crew. I mean, we had, you know, 6-7 people on there. Yeah. And, but just, you know, very much like you, Ryan, like I've watched your career over the years. I mean, nothing slows you down.
Nothing.
And that's admirable. It does not exist as much as it used to. You know, when I, as we call it in the business, get bit by the bug, I mean, I lived at the radio station. I had a pillow and a toothbrush at the radio station. You know, I'm sitting there cutting and splicing, you know, spending 6 hours learning on the job. Nobody's teaching me really, just to provide a 2-3 minute bit the next day, which most of the time they'd hate. But it was, I don't know, it was addicting. And so to see in the business now, a lot of the young people that are coming up, you know, they go to these schools, which there's nothing wrong with the schools. But if I see on someone else's resume, they have good mic technique, like what the shit is that? Like, you know, is that a whole class on mic technique? I mean, I don't understand. You know, so it's radio, like other jobs, is something that you either get or you don't. There's no textbook for it. There's no blueprint for it. That's why I always tell people, if you want to get into radio and you want to be a radio personality, not just a DJ, try to get in with a personality-driven show, mainly a morning show. Nikki had that drive. She had that love for the business, and I just said to her, you know, one of these days I'm going to get hired full time. Unfortunately, we had a kind of a shitty situation in Atlanta with the powers that be. And, you know, they just, there was a lot of things that were really disgusting on reasons why she didn't get hired, I'm sure. But, you know, so when I got blown out, they kept her for another month and then fired her. And then I said, you know, I brought her onto the podcast. And then when I got this gig, there was no other choice for my co-host. I didn't think about anyone else. She was first. But, you know, she has a child. She has a teenager, a 15-year-old girl. So it was a move for her. So she, you know, that's trusting me to say, hey, look, we got to do this. I can't make any promises, but you just have to believe in me. And so she does. And I just think she's such a rock star. And she's still got so much to learn. Which is great for her, because where she's at now and where she's going to be in a year, 5 years, she's going to be huge. She's going to be great. She'll eventually have her own show and leave me in the dust, I'm sure. And as far as Nelson goes, you know, I met Nelson when he got into the business about 15 years ago, and we met at a morning show boot camp in Miami at the Fountain Blue. And, we just became friends, and I always thought he was funny and goofy. And, that guy's over the moon talented. Yes. I mean, he's just, I'm lucky to have him, because not only is he a great behind the scenes producer, but on the air there's no one else like him. I mean, he's infectious. And he understands the business. So anyone that hires that guy, I mean, not that I want him to, but right now, but they are getting a guy that surpasses whatever amount of money you decide to pay him. He's that good.
Why should people check out your show? What do you bring to the table each morning?
Are you talking about people in Sacramento or just people online?
People in Sacramento, everybody.
Well, so, you know, I always tee up our show as a guy radio show that women love to listen to, as far as being kind of voyeuristic into a dude's brain. What I just recently learned, you know, we put on this event, the BSA to Christmas, which I'd been doing, you know, I'd started it in Orlando years ago, and I brought it back, and I didn't know what to expect. I always get nervous when we do live events, because we're only 8-9 months into the market, so it could have been a total bust. You know, we teamed up with a charity, you know, organically telling a story leading up to the event. And that's how you do this type of thing. And that day that we did the event, it was, people were waiting for us before we went on the air. They were there at like 5:15 in the morning. I could not believe it. And we had people constantly coming in and out for the next 4 hours. I mean, just a constant flow, a line to come on the air with us. Just to give you an idea visual, and I'm not beating up our promotions department, because I agreed with them. They had wrapped this large kind of refrigerator box, and we in our heads thought we'd be lucky to get that filled up for the charity Lost But Not Forgotten. I did not disagree with that. I was like, I hope we get it filled up. Well, we got 6 trucks filled up, but yeah. When it was all said and some of the biggest feedback that I got from people was, as far as Sacramento goes, they were happy to have a show that they can relate to, that they can touch, you know, not in the creepy way, but in the good way, and does stuff for the community and makes them laugh. They listened to us and there was no ulterior agenda, right? There was no motive. It wasn't that I'm trying to shove some product down your throat. I mean, of course we have endorsements and commercials, but that's not what the whole show is about. Like, shit, it's just about having a good time. It's about laughing. It's about, you know, radio should be about entertaining, informing, and evoking, thought evoking. And if you cover those 3 things with every show, then you've done your thing. So they're not used to a show like this. You know, plus I bring some of that East Coast swagger, which could go one of 2 ways. It's just something different for them, something new. And I'm a no bullshit guy. You know, I don't give a shit. You know, if you're cool, I'm cool. If you're a dick, you know, I'll say you're a dick. You know, just that's just how I am. I've always been like that. And so I think they appreciate that kind of vibe from me.
So I got about 5 minutes left on the Zoom call because I don't pay for Zoom premium. So for people that haven't checked out your show, how can they find your morning show?
Well, locally on 98.5, which is 98 Rock, online, you can go to the Odyssey app or whatever, you know, platform you get your podcast, but I'm going to push it to the Odyssey app. It's a good app. It's a free app. Also on my website, thebaileyshow.com, you can stream and get the podcast there. And, you know, we do, just like most radio people, we post the show up afterwards as a podcast, which, you know, I'm on the fence with even calling it a podcast, but I guess it is. And then we do an extra podcast called the BS Uncensored, which is released on Wednesdays, which we kind of, you know, we'll have guests in long form or whatever, you know, talk about just bullshit and, you know, fun stuff like that.
Well, Jason, keep up the good work, man. I've been a fan of you for a decade now and have appreciated all the advice you've given me over the years. So keep up the good work.
You too, man. Like, you got like 60 seconds here. Let me put you over for a second.
Please do.
Like, what you've been able to do, young sire,
thank you,
is pretty remarkable. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. For anybody that's in this business that's trying to break into the business or make a name for yourself, follow the Ryan Hoppe footprint of no does not mean no. And if there's a will, there's a way. And if you have a phone, I'm going to fucking call it. because that's what you've done. And I see you on social media. You know, you need to walk around and pat yourself on the back every now and again, brother. You're doing some good stuff. Yeah, there you go. And I see you got Brother Weeze coming up. Make sure you tell Brother Weeze that I said hi. I love him. God bless him. Merry Christmas. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him.
Thank you so much, Jason. Keep up the good work.
All right, brother. Take care. Bye.
Bye. This has been Hoppe Hour. I am your host signing off. Goodbye now.
Hoppe Hour. Hoppe Hour.